Praise the Lord.
Amen.
How many of you are ready to get into the Word of God today?
Amen.
Okay. Somebody asked me a question the last time we were here. They asked me something about the meaning of the word mansions. And I'm wondering why the question, do you or have you heard that I might not believe in heaven? Did anybody say that?
Yeah.
You heard that?
Yes.
Okay. Can I say to you that everything I'm preaching is about the kingdom of heaven?
Amen.
Now the problem is, what kind of heaven do you believe? I guess that's the question. Now, do you believe that when we die, we'll go to heaven?
Amen.
Amen. I do too. All right. All right. Let me ask a question. When you die, what happens to you? No. What happens to you?
The spirit will move.
The soul will move.
All right. Where does your body go? Your body goes in the ground, right? And you're made out of dust, right?
Yes.
And so your body turns to dust.
Yes.
So after you die, you don't have this kind of body anymore, right? And in Ecclesiastes, it says that when a man dies, his spirit returns to God who gave it.
Yes.
All right? So we have body, soul, and spirit, right?
Amen.
So here we are. Well, that works pretty good today. Spirit, soul, and body. Now, it says in Genesis that God created man from the dust of the earth, and he breathed into him the breath of life, and he became what?
A living soul.
Okay? So God breathed his spirit into man, and he became a living soul. Now, the soul, first of all, what do you see when you see me? You see my body, right? Can you see my soul?
No.
Do you believe I have a soul?
Yes.
How can you tell?
Because you are alive.
Very good. You can see the reaction. You can see that I have a will, that I have desires. Okay, you can hear me speak from my mind. Okay, so you know that I have these four aspects of my soul. Okay, now in Ecclesiastes it says that when a man dies, his spirit goes to back to God. Okay, now if you are a sinner, what happens to you? Your body goes down into the ground, okay, in a grave, and it decays just like everybody else's. What happens to the soul of the sinner?
Kingdom.
Where does it go?
Sheol,
if you want to use the Old Testament word, if you want to use the New Testament word. What is the word?
Hades.
So his soul of a sinner goes to hell. Okay. If you're a believer, what happens to your soul? It goes to be with God. Okay. So it goes to heaven. Am I right?
Amen.
What did Jesus say to the thief on the cross? Today you'll be with me where?
Paradise.
Paradise. Okay, he said he will be with me in paradise. Now, before Jesus came, before his resurrection, what was hell like? He told the story of Lazarus, remember? Lazarus and the rich man. By the way, can you see this?
Yes.
Okay. And he said that there was a beggar named Lazarus, and he was put at the rich man's gate, and he was such a poor beggar that the dogs came and licked his sores. He was really in bad shape. And he said that the beggar went to... What word do they use? I don't remember. He went to Abraham's bosom, but he still went to Hades. But he went to Abraham's bosom. So I'll use the word Hades here. I think it says he. But this man here, he was a good man. He went to Abraham's bosom, right? I'm just going to put Abraham here. You'll know what I mean. And the rich man died, and it says in the King James, he lifted up his eyes in hell. He lifted up his what?
Eyes.
I thought his body was in the ground. I just want you to think. Yes, he lifted up his eyes in hell. So that means that in our soul, we have eyes too. And not only that, but he felt torment in his body. Am I right? And he felt thirst. And he felt the fire of torment in him. So there was something, it wasn't physical, but it was real. Did you hear me?
Amen.
It wasn't physical, it wasn't this, but it was real. And they could see one another. And he was begging Abraham. He said, let Lazarus come over and bring me a little water. Because I'm in torment over here. And Abraham said, no. In your life, you had a good life. And Lazarus had nothing but suffering in his life. And no, he's in comfort now, and you're in torment. And besides, there is a great gulf. And he can't come over to you, and you can't come over to him. So we're talking about hell. We're going to get to heaven. Okay. And now, when Jesus died and was resurrected, what happened?
He came down
and he took captivity captive, didn't he? So all these people that were over here on this side were people who died believing. Okay, they died, they had repented, they were believing, but they still couldn't come to the fullness of the presence of God. Because the Lamb of God had not yet made the sacrifice. Okay? In other words, back in the tabernacle, back in the temple, the priest was still taking blood of bulls and goats and sheep and making atonement for them. But it was not a real full atonement. It was just there's coming a Lamb of God and someday we're really going to get it. So what Jesus did is he took captivity captive, all right, And he took them with him to a place of paradise. And then it says, I think it says somewhere that hell expanded. So hell took over everything now. There's no comfort at all. All right, so what I'm getting at is, now in heaven at this time, nobody has a body. Am I right? You're a soul, and if you're in God, your spirit and your soul go back to God.
Amen.
Okay, so what is heaven then? Is heaven made out of this?
No.
I don't need this. Do I need a house?
No.
I don't need a house. I mean, I don't need this kind of house. Do I? But you see, that's what people have been preaching for so long. That when I go, I'm going to have a big house. I'm going to have lots of rooms. I'm going to have bedrooms. I'm going to have toilets and kitchen. What am I going to eat? I won't need toilet in my house. I won't sleep. What will I need this big house for? And so we understand the house, amen, the temple of God. Now, I want to take you to the book of Revelation, if you can, for a minute. I want you to read a verse, and I want you to tell me what this verse means. All right? Come now, you're students. I'm trying to challenge you to think spiritual thinking.
Yeah.
All right? Do you remember what Paul said in Romans 7 and Romans 8? What did Paul say? He said the carnal man, what? The carnal man what? The carnal man cannot understand spiritual things. Now, we have been carnal. That doesn't mean we're sinful. Carnal is not wicked. It's just carnal means natural thinking. Come now, I have been very carnal in my life. I've had some very carnal ideas about the kingdom of God. When I first heard the message of the kingdom of God, I could not understand. I heard it, it bore witness to me, but when the preacher left, I couldn't understand it again. And I had to keep asking God, open my eyes. Now, it's not these eyes. It's these. There's other eyes. These people that are in hell, okay? Hell is going to last forever. Heaven, eternity. All of eternity is going to last forever. When you go, when a sinner goes to hell, he does not go into soul sleep. Did you ever hear that term, soul sleep? There's a religion that believes that when you die, your soul goes to sleep. That is not what Jesus told about that rich man. His soul was not asleep. He was very aware of what was going on. And by the way, I don't believe that was a parable. I believe Jesus was telling a real story.
Amen.
Do you know why I believe that? Because these people had names. Lazarus had a name. He wouldn't name the rich man. But he named the man Lazarus, and I believe there was a real man named Lazarus. Okay, I want to go to the 21st chapter of Revelation. 21st chapter of Revelation. And I want to read the first two verses. The first two verses. And now it's, well, first of all, before we get to that, let us go back to Revelation chapter 4, verse 2. Verse 1 and 2 of chapter 4, Revelation. Okay, can you understand if I read in English?
Yes.
Okay. And after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Hello?
Yes.
I believe in heaven. A door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." So the revelation is about things that will happen hereafter, after John saw these things, okay? And it says, and immediately I was in the what?
Spirit.
He didn't say immediately I was in the flesh. He said, immediately I was in the Spirit. So he heard a call from heaven. And in order to visit that heavenly place, he had to be in the Spirit.
Amen.
So his Spirit had to visit heaven. And the things that he saw in heaven, he was seeing spiritual things.
Amen.
Now he saw natural pictures. Okay? But they were pictures of spiritual understanding. So immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Okay, so I read that in chapter 4. I can go back to the first chapter. The same thing is that he was in the Spirit. Let's see where it says that he was in the Spirit. In the first, I think it's in the first chapter. Is it 1:10? Oh, I'm in Jude. No wonder I can't find it. Yes, verse 10. I was in the Spirit. I was in the Spirit. All right. Now remember, when you read the book of Revelation, you must understand in the Spirit.
Amen.
Okay? It is a spiritual book. All the Bible is a spiritual book. But Revelation is a spiritual book. It is a very spiritual book. Okay, now, chapter 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Okay? Now the word heaven means a spiritual place. A spiritual place. It can be a good spiritual place, or it can be a place that's not so good. You're looking at me funny. Let me show you where it's maybe not so good. Go back to chapter 12. Now remember, we're still using the word heaven. I want you to know that I believe in heaven. Amen? But I don't believe that I have to walk on that kind of ground. And I don't have to have this kind of a house to live in. I want you to understand what God says heaven is. It's not a natural place. If it's a natural place, we can find it with telescopes and these, what are these things that go out into space? Satellites and these Hubble space things that go out and look. You're not going to find heaven like that. It's not out there. Now, what did we also agree to? Where is Jesus? He's in us, but he's in heaven, right? Does that mean that there is some heaven in me? Are we okay with that? that we can have heaven in here,
Amen.
In me.
Amen.
Go back to the book of Genesis. You don't have to look. You know what's there. God said, let us make man in what way? In our likeness and after our image. Image and likeness. Okay? Now, we are made now in the image of God. God has eyes. I don't know what his eyes look like. He has ears. We know he can hear. Okay? We know he can speak. We know he can smell. I mean, some things smell real bad to God. Okay? But that doesn't mean he has physical shape like us. So, he made us in his image, and he wants us to be in his what?
Likeness.
Now, what is it going to be like God? What is God like?
Good.
Somebody said the word good. I mean, yes, he's good. He's love. Do I have a problem with love sometimes?
Yes.
I find people that are very hard to love. I have a hard time loving bad people. But I know when I think about it, I think, no, I can't be like this. Jesus would love this man. He's a terrible man, but Jesus would still love this man. No, in other words, he is long-suffering. He is just. He never lies. There is no shadow in him. There is absolutely no shadow of turning in him. And this is heaven. In heaven, there is no shadow. The throne that we saw, the throne is set on a sea of glass, crystal, clear, like glass. That means if you want to be part of heaven, there can be nothing hidden in you. How many of you think we've had some hidden sins that we didn't want anybody to know about? You can't take that with you into heaven.
That's right.
Heaven is real.
Amen.
But it's more real than this.
Amen.
It is more real than this. This isn't real. This will pass away.
Amen.
Flesh and blood cannot inherit eternal life.
Amen.
Do you understand?
Amen.
I know that's awful hard for a 20-year-old to give up flesh and blood.
That's right.
I was your age. I didn't want to give up my flesh and blood.
Mm.
It's only when you get much older and your body begins to wear down a little bit and you think I could give this up. I think I can go for something better. You know? All right, where were we? Where are we going? Oh, I was going to give you I was going to give you chapter 12 of Revelation. You know, I didn't intend to talk about this at all. I did not. I want to talk to you about a parable. Maybe we'll get to that yet. But the Lord kept saying to me, heaven. So, chapter 12 of Revelation, what does it say? First verse. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. Heaven? Hello?
Yes.
A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Who do you think that woman was? Was that a woman like Sister Madeline?
No.
No. Sister Rita?
Church.
No.
Church.
It's the church.
Church.
Amen. There's three churches that appear in this. Now remember, this heaven. This is not throne of God heaven, but this is a different heaven. Heaven means a spiritual place. Remember, Satan got thrown out of the throne of God heaven. Remember, Jesus said, I beheld Satan like lightning fall out of heaven. All God had to do was go out, and he's gone. The devil is not a problem for God. The devil is a problem for us. But he is no problem for God. In other words, you know, oh, we're going to have light. Praise the Lord. Let there be light. How do you turn this off, brother? Yeah, I want to save your battery. No, God is not this big, and devil is this big. No, no problem. God is, devil is done. Okay, so there was a scene in heaven. Come on, I'm reading from the Bible, am I not? Okay, there was a scene in heaven, and it's the church, and the church has a moon under her feet. What is a moon? Another church. In other words, it's the moon is the old order of church. Okay? Now, you want me to prove that moon means church, right? Okay, Joseph had a dream. And in his dream, the sun and the moon and the other 12 stars, and the stars were bowing down to him. And Jacob said, your mother and I too? So Jacob understood the sun was the father, the moon was the mother, the stars were the brothers. So in the Bible, woman, when woman is seen, woman spiritually means God's people, bride, church. Okay, you can use the word church. Church just means called out. Okay, so a woman is a church. A moon is a church. A woman is a church. Okay, now, there's two churches. I should draw a picture. Oh, I'm not good at drawing this. Okay, woman. Oh boy, I'm never good at drawing this woman. She's got a bad hair day. Hair is not good. Okay, and under her feet is moon. Moon. But in her is what? So how do I make little man child? Alright. Yeah, little man child. Okay. She's expecting a baby. But this church is different. This is not a woman church. This is going to be a different church. Now, why do I say man and woman? Woman church, up until now, woman cannot bring forth life unless she receives life. Am I right? This is just your biology. You understand that. She must receive seed in order to bring forth new life. And that is the way the church is. But there's coming a time when there's going to be a different church. And that is going to be a church whose head is Christ. Now, we say Christ is our head, but Christ has not been the head of the church. Other men have been head of the church. But there's coming a church with authority that is going to have the power. Now, this woman is crying and travailing because the time of birth is coming close. How many believe that this could be the time that we're living now? That we are about ready to see the coming forth of a man-child church. Man-child. Ask me a question if you want. Man-child. Now, the problem is, let's go down a little bit. Verse 3, there appeared another wonder in heaven. Is that still the word heaven? Is that word heaven in your Bible? All right. There appeared another wonder in heaven. Now, this wonder doesn't mean it's a good thing. It just means it's a amazing, how can this be thing. You know what I mean? Another wonder. And behold, a great dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his heads. Does this sound like the devil with his new world order? These are nations. These are rulers. And they're waiting for the birth of the man-child. Okay. And it tells about his tail. And it says, and he stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, the devil isn't trying to destroy the moon. The devil isn't trying to destroy the woman. But the devil wants to destroy that child. That means the devil knows that when this child comes forth, this child is going to destroy his kingdom. And he's stupid, but he's not so stupid to know that if he can destroy that church, he can preserve his kingdom. But what does the Bible say? His kingdom will be destroyed. Amen? All right. But it says, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Now, I failed to tell you, this is the other place that word caught up is used. Caught up to God and his throne. Now, where did this child go? To the throne of God. But did he leave the earth? What does throne mean? What does throne mean? When it means a place of authority. If Jesus said, to him that overcometh will I allow to sit with me in the throne. Now that doesn't mean you're going to become God. No way. You are not going to be God. All right? There's only one God. But he said, I'm going to give you a place with me in authority. Now, you're not going to be literally sitting in a big chair. You know, big chair, great big chair. Here I am, all of us. I mean, where would we all fit in this big chair? It's a spiritual language. We're going to have authority with him. And it says, now, by the way, I can show you 2 other places where the same words say about Jesus. Go back to Revelation 2, verse 27. And it says, verse 26, it says, he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. Now he said that to the church, didn't he? He said the same thing to a church. Now let's look at what he says about himself over in Revelation 19, verse 15. It says, and out of his mouth, this is Jesus, this is the one riding the white horse, amen? And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. What does that sharp sword mean?
Word.
It's the word of God. It's coming out of his mouth. In other words, the power of the word of his mouth, amen? That it should smite the nations. In other words, the word of God is going to hit the nations. All nations are going to have to bow to the word of God. Amen? It says, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. So, with Christ, he's going to give authority to a church. Amen? A people. And we can call it, here you can call it the man-child company. I said there's many names you can call this company. You can call it the Elijah company. You can call it the two witnesses company. The first fruits company. Okay? But, remember, this chapter 12, in heaven, the devil. What kind of heaven is this? Now come now, don't tell me I don't believe in heaven. Why is the devil in heaven? Because heaven has different meanings, doesn't it? Can we say there are different levels of heaven? Okay? The highest level is the throne of God. That's not a very good throne, but... And the power and the mighty of God. I can't draw his picture. I don't know what his eyes look like. Amen? They don't look like something you can draw. I tell you, you ever see God? Moses saw God. You remember that? But he didn't see all of God. Can we go there for just a minute to see what Moses saw? We need to understand that these are not natural things. These are spiritual things. Come now, you've only got this. This is your last week. You've got to understand this. If you're going to graduate from this school with knowing.
Amen.
You're going to graduate anyway. But you need to understand the spiritual thing. It's in Exodus 33, right? Exodus 33, is that where we're going to find it? Maybe 32 or 33. Yeah, somewhere around here. Okay, here we are. And chapter 33, Moses has said to God, I want to see you. You know, we've been talking, I really want to see you. I want to see who you are. Okay? And verse 11, and the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to a friend, and he turned again. Okay, let's go down. All right, now back down here in verse 19. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. Okay? But in verse 20, but thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. In other words, God, the brightness of God, the glory of God, the purity of God, is so intense that if you were to look straight at him, you would have to be dead. Your flesh could not endure looking straight in the face of God. All right? And in verse 22, it says, "And it will come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by." All right, now in the next chapter, in verse 5, he says, "And the Lord descended in the cloud." He's still in a cloud, isn't he? Okay. "And stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord." By the way, what's the name of the Lord?
I am who I am.
Those are all good descriptions. Now listen to what he proclaimed to Moses, the name of the Lord. Okay? "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression of sin, and that by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children," verse 7, "and the children's children unto the third and fourth generation," verse 6 and 7. What did he show Moses? There was no name. He didn't say Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, Yeshua. He didn't say anything like that. You know, some people believe, there's Pentecostal people, they believe you have to baptize somebody in the name of Jesus. So you put them, "In the name of Jesus, I baptize you." Well, what is the name of Jesus? It's not just calling out a name. This is what Moses saw. He saw the nature. The name is the nature. He saw goodness, mercy, justice, long-suffering. Guilty will not be, you know, if they don't repent, they won't be, you know. He saw it all. He saw all that. And he only saw the back part of God. I think Moses had a glimpse of heaven. All right, so we found that down here on one of these lower levels, we found Satan was there. Somewhere down here, maybe down here, I don't know. Somewhere in some lower level of heaven, Satan not only was, but is. If we're talking about the church today, Satan is disturbing this level of heaven. But are we talking about our soul? Is Satan coming against our soul in this heaven? Trying to devour the birthing of the man-child company. Satan is in the church, trying to stop the church from understanding what God is doing. If he can keep the church running along down here on the lower level, then he can preserve his kingdom, and we will not destroy Satan's house. I just used the word house. His kingdom. Okay? Well, anyway, in chapter 12, it says that Michael... So let's put him up here. And Michael... Here comes Michael... Michael has come, and Michael is fighting with Satan, and Satan is losing. And what's happening? Satan is being cast down to where?
Earth.
What does earth mean? That means he's walking around here? Earth means carnal. Carnal earth. There are carnal Christians. Christians that live for the flesh. Christians that live for pleasure. Christians that live to accumulate all the money they can get. Christians who are not sold out to the kingdom of God. They are carnal Christians. And Satan is being cast down to earth. And of course, it does mean that he's going to be limited. He can't go and around in the spiritual places that he used to go. And so he's going to make his kingdom in this earth. He's going to make an end time one world government. That's what he's doing. I think he's being pressed down now. I think he's already losing ground. Amen. Michael is already working with us. Michael and his angels are working with us. Amen. Satan comes down. We're fighting. Amen. We're going to have to get him. All right. So there's a heaven.
Amen.
It says heaven. Heaven means it's a spiritual place. There's a spiritual place in me. And Satan gets in there sometimes. All right. Now let's go and see what the end of it's going to be. We were going to go to Revelation chapter what? 21? And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. What do you think that means? Well, it means... What did I do with my eraser? It means... Heaven. Yes, a new heaven. Amen. But it also means an earth. Earth. An earth where Satan has no more place. Now, there are going to be people living in the natural realm on earth during the millennium. During the 1,000 years, there will be people living as we do. Maybe some of you will be. I hope you all come up higher. But there will be people, children will be born, and sometimes people will sin. Are you okay with that, or do you want me to prove it? Say something. I said in the millennium there will be sinners, but the devil will not be helping them sin. It's in Zechariah. It says, and if Egypt means people of the world, and if Egypt refuses to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, this is the plague that will come upon him. And then it says, and if a child dies at only 100 years old, it is because he's a sinner. Cursed. What?
Accursed.
Yeah. So, it's a new... In other words, the heaven in which Satan and his cohorts are able to travel all over the spiritual realm of this earth and plant seeds of deceit and unrighteousness and just carry out his wickedness. The game is changed. He can't do that anymore. This is Revelation 21. New rules, new heaven, new earth. And it says, and no more sea. All right, now I know. I was your age. I was thinking, well, we're not going to have any more ocean. No more oceans. No, that's not what it means. What is a sea? Sea. Come, it's all defined in the book of Revelation. The sea is the unredeemed people, the masses of humanity. I think we can find it in chapter 18, maybe 17, where it talks about the great harlot, and that she sits upon the many waters. Let's see where we can... 17:15. Ah, yes. Oh, we've got some quick ones here. Yes. It says, "And he saith unto me, The waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues." The whore, the harlot. This is a woman now. Remember, this is another picture of another woman. But it's a different kind of woman. All right? This is an unfaithful woman. And it's an unfaithful church. Amen? And it is the mother of harlots. And who is the mother of harlots? She's all over the Philippines. The mother of harlots is choosing a new pope as we speak. You know who she is. She's the mother.
Yes.
But to be a mother, she has to have what? Daughters. And the other churches that act like the mother are daughters. And they're harlots also. Okay? So, the many waters, see, this is the sea. There is not going to be that kind of many waters anymore in the earth. It's a new heaven and a new earth. Now, some people say, well, it's because they had nuclear bombs and they just bombed the earth and bomb, 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 bomb. And they set off 300,000 bombs and there's nothing left on the earth. Except a bunch of ash. And it's burned to a crisp. No. Come now. God says that the earth remaineth forever. The thing that God created. Now, yes. If the devil had his way, he would destroy it like that. He would go after it. He would destroy it. He would nuke it. If he were unleashed, he would kill every human being on this earth. He does not want any human beings. He does not want anything that God created. Trees, rivers, mountains, nothing. His goal is to completely destroy everything of God's creation. But God will not allow him. Furthermore, God is going to give power. It says in Revelation chapter 11, "And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will testify." Amen. "And they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth." Revelation 11, verse 3. God said, "I will give power." You find the picture in Elijah. Elijah must come. Amen? And restore all things. So that means God is going to give the sons of God. See, I'm using the sons of God. Can I write some of these terms? Man-child. sons of God, two witnesses, Elijah Company, Gideon Company. I'll call it Gideon 300 Company. 144,000. First fruits. Ah, wise virgins, yes. That's the one I wanted to talk about this afternoon, maybe. Pardon? Oh, 100-fold, yeah. 100-fold. This is all language that taught. Oh, overcomer. He that overcomes. He that overcomes. He that overcomes. In fact, right here in chapter 20 or 21, it says, he that overcomes will inherit all things. Come now, you know, brethren, these terms are not talking about everybody in the church. It is not talking about every Christian. Every Christian is not an overcomer. There are Christians that don't overcome. They are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. They are forgiven. They keep falling into sin. They keep getting forgiven, fall in sin, get forgiven, fall in sin, get forgiven, fall in sin, get forgiven. You've got to come to the place where you overcome. You've got to overcome these besetting sins. Look up all these terms. Find them after graduation. Or maybe before. It's God has reserved. And I want to tell you, there is a difference between... Where can I make another picture? We don't need this one anymore. God wants us to be in His likeness. In His likeness. This is why He wants sons. Sons are like their father. Amen. Amen. Sons or children. Children have the potential of being like their father, but until they mature, they are not like their father. A child cannot do his father's business as long as he is a child. But when he becomes a son, he can do his father's business. Amen. He knows his father's business. He knows what the father wants, and he goes about doing the father's business. And if the father needs to correct him, he'll correct him. Oh, I was going to Revelation chapter 11. You've seen this picture so many times. It's not the scale, I'm sorry. Tabernacle. What does it say at the beginning of Revelation chapter 11? You've probably heard me say this before, haven't you? If I say it again, maybe we'll understand. I am going to get to chapter 21. Heaven. I'm going to get there today. This morning. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. In other words, he's saying to him, measure this. This altar, the golden altar. Not this altar. There's an altar out here too, you know that. And the brazen laver. He's saying, measure this. Now, wait a minute. Who was given the rod like reed? Who's writing this?
John.
John said the angel came and gave him a reed and told him to measure the temple and what else?
And the
altar and the people. Well, now, we already know how big this is. I mean, the dimensions are already in the Bible. Why would he have to measure it? And I already know how tall I am. Why would he need to measure me? Can I make you think spiritual thinking now? So that means he's measuring something else spiritually, isn't he? In other words, he is telling John, measure this church. Measure this church and see how they measure up. Examine them. And how are you being examined? Oh, did I say you? Are you this church? Yes, I hope you are. I hope you're not this church. With all the preaching I'm giving you, I want you to be at least this church who is going into this. Okay? So, what is it that measures you? How are you being measured? You are hearing the Word of God, and the Word of God is measuring you. In other words, you will examine yourself according to the word that you hear, and you will say to yourself, am I measuring up? The golden altar is where I give my soul. God wants to save your soul. Your soul. If he saves your soul, your flesh will obey. Your spirit is already going to go back to God when you die. So your spirit doesn't need to be saved, but your soul needs to be saved. And the life of your soul is coming through the spirit, because God ministers his spirit to your spirit. Your spirit ministers to your soul, and your soul ministers to your flesh. Amen. And the devil wants to get your soul. And how does he come? He comes through your flesh. But he also can whisper to your soul. All right? Okay, now, rise and measure. And what's the next verse say? The court that is outside, and that means what? Outer
court.
Outer court. The outer court, what's going to happen to that?
Leave it out.
In other words, don't measure it. This is the court of the church. This is church now. Remember, this whole thing is the house of God. This is all God's church. Everybody that comes here has to come through here. You have to come to salvation, you have to come to baptism, and you have to come on into the fullness of Christ. But the problem is, there's a church that just stays out here. They don't go any further. They just say, oh well, I'm saved and baptized and I'm happy I am. And I'm going to die saved and baptized. But What's all this talk about overcomer and sons of God? I don't need to know that. I'm going to heaven. And I believe these people will go to heaven. But they're going to miss out on some other things. Do you believe there's difference, people in heaven? He said, well, yes, they're all getting one penny for working one day. Yes, that's salvation. But don't you believe that there are some who are going to be more mature than others? How mature do you think that thief is going to be? That thief, that murderer that was crucified by Jesus. How much opportunity did he have to come into the fullness of the likeness of Christ? He didn't have any opportunity, did he? He could only overcome for those few hours hanging on the cross while his friend is cursing Jesus. You know? But he still got in. He got into heaven, didn't he? Paradise. He got into paradise. He got in. But he didn't come in as an overcomer. He didn't come in as a son of God. Visitors. All right, let's finish what it says on this court here. But the court that is outside the temple, leave it out and measure it not for what? Who are Gentiles?
World.
It is given to the world. In other words, this devil with his how many heads? Seven heads and ten horns and all that. This world system is going to do what? Given to the Gentiles and the holy city. This is God's holy city. Yes. And they shall tread underfoot 42 months. How long is 42 months? 3.5 years. Now, what church do you want to be in during the tribulation? By the way, if these people are all raptured, why are they trampled underfoot? What are they doing here? This court should all be empty. They're all raptured. They've all gone off somewhere. Let me just tell you one I forgot to tell you the other day. Matthew 13. I was thinking of that the other day. I forgot to tell you Matthew 13. And really, I wish I had another couple of days next week, but you guys are gone. It tells who the tares are, and it tells, oh, by the way, 30, 60, 100 fold. What kind of seed do you want to be? Do you want to produce 100 fold? See, there's three different kinds of Christians here, isn't there? There's 100 fold. I'm talking about the parable of the sower. You knew that, didn't you? And it talks about Christians that have no root, Christians that fall away as soon as the sun comes out, as soon as there's heat and pressure and tribulation. Okay. Verse 30, he says to let the sinners and the Christians grow together in the world until the end. And then in verse 30 it says, let both grow together until harvest, and in the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, gather together first the tares. Hello? Yeah. First the tares. Who's going to be removed first?
The wicked.
Not the Christians raptured. He is going to remove the wicked first. That means we're going to be here when it happens. Gather first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Verse 38, the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. All right, so here's another evidence of the thing I talked to you about rapture. All right, so there's an outer court of God's people that is going to be trampled. Now, they can be saved. I didn't say they won't be saved. But they will have no protection. They will not be in the secret place of the Most High. They will not be in the chambers of the Lord where they shut the door and are hidden. I was reading a verse in Psalms again the other day about being hidden in the secret of the secret pavilion. Do you remember what psalm that was, Rita? I underlined it. Let me go back and find it. I want you to have all the evidence that you could have. In the secret pavilion. Psalms, it's in... here it is. 27, verse 5. Just write it down. Psalm 27, 5. I'll read it to you. For in the time of trouble... He shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Another hiding place. And I can give you many, many more. Okay, so we see that there is a church that will not qualify. There is a people, let's put it this way, not a church. There's a people. Some of these people are in one church, some of these people are in the same church. Do you know what I mean? The wise and foolish virgins. They're in the same church. They talk to one another. They go to the same place. One of them says to the other one, "I don't have any oil. What am I going to do? I'm just not making it. You're overcoming, but I'm not." These can be people in the same church. When I say different church, I mean different place in God. All right, I promise to go to Revelation 21. And I'm going to ask you some questions. He said, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first is passed away. There is no more sea. There is no more restless waves of the sea foaming." And you know, the waves of the sea are foaming today. You see these pictures of Egypt? These people rioting Syria? Do you see what's happening to these people? Restless waves, rioting and making insurrections and what have you, going against their government, going campaigning for this, campaigning for that. Restless. Okay. And I, John, I like where he says, I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. Come on. Do you think he saw heaven? What is Holy City, New Jerusalem? Is it the same as heaven? It's not a trick. I think it is. He's seeing heaven. He's seeing the New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. I like that song. Maybe Rita and I can sing that song. I can see the holy city. Wait till I finish here. We'll give you a chance. It just comes to me. I think we should sing it. Oh, it's a beautiful song. Now, what did John see? Where is New Jerusalem coming from? From the highest of God, heaven. But where is it coming? Coming where? Down. What does that mean, down? Here. Heaven is coming to earth. Heaven is going to take over the earth. We are going to have a new earth. New earth. Not, God doesn't have to say, let there be trees. I mean, trees are going to be here. The new earth is going to be heaven. Righteousness is coming.
Amen.
The bride of Christ. Oh yes. Bride is coming to rule with Jesus over earth.
Hallelujah.
Tell me, am I wrong? Come on, you can disagree with me. I love you. You want me to prove who this new Jerusalem is, right? Oh, Brother Mark, it says Jerusalem. It means it's a city. I mean, it's some big square thing coming down, you know. Well, do you remember the verse we read in Hebrews chapter 12? For ye are not come to the mount that could not be touched, and that was shaking, and the darkness, and if any man touched it, he was shot, or the animals were shot, you know. But ye are come to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. Amen? And it tells that it was God is in the city, the saints of just men made perfect, Jesus, amen, and the blood of Jesus that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Amen? That is Mount Zion, heavenly Jerusalem. It says heavenly Jerusalem in there, doesn't it, in Hebrews 12. Who's got it? Who can read it for me? Didn't it say heavenly Jerusalem? Heavenly Jerusalem. Come now, I believe in heaven. Heavenly Jerusalem. Spiritual. Like God. Heavenly, spiritual, like God. Jerusalem is a city, is it not?
Yeah.
What is a city? A city has what? Has many temples, many dwelling places. We make up a little city here. We're not a very big city, but look at all these dwelling places where Christ is living in these little temples. Amen? You are a temple. Paul says, know ye not, ye are the temple of God.
Amen.
You are a temple.
Amen.
You're a temple. You're a temple. You're a temple. You're a dwelling place of God, sister. And we get all these temples together, we have a heavenly city, Jerusalem. And we are, oh, I should have added bride. Did I put bride here? Let's put bride here too, shall we? You know, not everybody's going to be in the bride. Did you know that? Not every Christian. I didn't say you're not getting into heaven, but not everyone is going to be married to Christ. Now that, no, sisters, you can also have a husband. Okay, you don't have to be all your life a nun or anything like that. Okay, now, he saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down. The word coming down means descending. Descending. I looked the word up. It means descending. In the Strong's it's 2597. Descending. Coming down. Coming from a higher place down to the earth, and it's going to bring its heavenly nature with it to earth. As a bride adorned for her husband, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men.
Amen.
The tabernacle of God is with men. Heaven is invading earth. Amen. And he will dwell with them permanently. Not far away. Where are you, God? You know, I was not much older than you, having troubles in my life. And I remember one time I'm crying out, "Oh God, where are you? Where are you? I'm looking up. Where are you? I need you." And I heard a voice. And the voice came from down in here. And the voice said, "I'm right here, son. I'm not far away." And I didn't understand what it meant. I do now. Okay? All right. "And he will tabernacle with men." See, this is what it means to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. This is the last of the three feasts that have not been fulfilled. Passover is fulfilled. Pentecost is fulfilled in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But tabernacles, we are still waiting for the fullness of tabernacles. And tabernacles means God is coming to live with us.
Amen.
Now listen to what he says. "And he will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God." He will not be far away. Amen? Listen how close he's going to be. "He will wipe away all tears from their eyes." Amen? "And there will be no more death." And you won't have to die. If you're a sinner, you can die. But you won't have to die. Hey, I can live a couple thousand more years yet. You know? But I'll be really old. Amen? "Neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. For former things are passed away." Come now, brethren. This is heaven.
Amen.
I believe in this.
Amen.
I just don't believe that I'm going to be up on Mars. Or Venus, or somewhere out there in outer space. I believe in heaven.
Amen.
And because this brother believes what I believe, he's not a cult.
Amen.
This is truth.
Amen.
Come now, this is truth that other people don't understand.
Amen.
God has given you the privilege.
Amen.
He has given you a special privilege of having these hidden secrets opened up to you. That your eyes can be opened. He gave parables and he said to the disciples, he said, "This is not meant for everybody because everybody's eyes are not open. But," he said, "for you, I will open your eyes so that you can see." Amen. Hallelujah. "And he that sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new.
Amen.
And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." But then people get into the stumbling block because it says, "Oh, let me give the description of this city." And he gives numbers. He says, "It's square. We're four square, aren't we? We're perfectly square in God. I mean, we're equal. There's nothing out of balance in us. When we are in fullness of Christ, we are perfectly square. Every aspect." I don't mean Four Square Church. That's a name. No, I mean the city lies four square. Amen? He even gives the size of this city. And I want to tell you that this cannot be a natural city. He says the city is he measured it with a reed, 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth and the height are equal. So this is square, 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 square. All the sides square. How big is this thing? Did you ever translate those furlongs into kilometers? I did. I'll tell you how long. These are natural numbers, but it doesn't mean natural things. What did he say? 12,000. 12,000 has a spiritual number, doesn't it? What is 12? Fullness of divine government. 000. Seed of Christ. Okay? Same thing as the 144,000. Has a meaning. 12 times 12 is 144, isn't it? Alright, it's square. Alright, so you want to know how big this is? 7,200,000 feet. Or 1,363.6 miles. Or 2,194 kilometers. 2,000 kilometers. Where's this thing going to sit? If it's a natural thing. 2,000 kilometers. Where are you going to put it? You set it in the ocean? All the water come up on the land? Well, maybe it'll just sit on the Philippines. No, it'll crush the Philippines. It's not a natural picture. Do you understand? Even the curve of the earth, this thing would rock. Come on, the earth has a curve. You go 2,000 miles and you have a problem with the curve of the earth. Well, one carnal preacher, here was his idea. He says it's going to be in a synchronous orbit around the earth. Here's what he said. Here's the earth, and this thing is going to orbit around the earth. it, like a satellite. And if you want to go up here, you have to take a rocket ship and you have to dock on the set. See, this is carnal thinking. This is not what it's... This is not a natural dimensions. It's talking about the spiritual quality. The Word made it very clear that this is the Bride of Christ. The Bride of Christ is not a big square thing that's going to come down and sit on the earth somewhere. And if you want to visit Jerusalem, you have to buy a ticket, you know. No. It's not that. I mentioned that to you so you don't get stuck in those numbers. Okay? Even these stones, every one of these stones has meaning, and you can find them in that little book that you're reading, volume number 3. The jasper, the sapphire, the chalcedony, the emerald, these all have a meaning. And Satan had, originally, he had 9 of those stones. But he was missing the last 3. So he was not complete when he was still an angel in heaven. But the last 3, one of them has the meaning of the blood. Do you remember the meaning of the other 2? It's in the book. I forget. Brother Duziel had the revelation. One of them is the bloodstone. And the blood of Jesus had not yet been given. So anyway, the Bride of Christ is full and complete. And let me just read you the last... verse 21. Yeah. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. You ever seen gold like that? Again, transparent glass. Nothing hidden. Gold has a meaning. Gold is the nature of God. We are going to walk not on this stuff, not on ring stuff. We are going to walk in the nature of God. By the way, it doesn't say streets. It says street. 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 Only one street. There's only one way. There's only one way.
Amen.
There's not many ways. One street, one way of pure gold. Amen. And I saw no temple therein. Why? Because it is the temple. Amen. It is the city. Amen. I saw no temple, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. You don't need to have a mansion with special furniture and special kind of wallpaper on your walls and special paint. That's carnal. This is the description. I believe what it says here. Amen. The city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did shine in it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, and there shall be no night there.
Amen.
You see, it's not going to be anywhere where day and night is. It's day. It's light. It's bright. It's God.
Amen.
Amen. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. All right, I'm going to quit. Do I believe in heaven?
Amen.
Brother Edmar, do you believe in heaven?
Yes.
So stop those people that say, I don't believe in heaven. I believe in a more real heaven.
Amen.
Than any of this nonsense heaven. My heaven is real. My heaven is spiritual.
Amen.
And you can leave behind those old ideas.